We're going to be finishing out Proverbs chapter 3 today, starting at verse 13. Have you ever had something of value, but you actually didn't know how valuable it was? Maybe it's something in your garage or storage unit or, you know, somewhere that you're like, yeah, I mean, maybe it has a little value, but it has way more value than you realize. Well, in 2006, there was a Filipino fisherman. He made an extraordinary find. While trying to free his anchor caught on a giant clam, he discovered a massive pearl inside the clam, weighing 75 pounds. The pearl was unlike anything ever seen before. Unaware of the potential value, the fisherman brought it home, placed it under his bed as a good luck charm, where it remained for 10 years. There's a house fire, which the man then had to remove his good luck charm pearl. He gave it over to the local tourism officials, thinking it would be a fun thing for people to see. He didn't know the value of it. The pearl is currently valued at $100 million. He got zero. It is now showcased in the Puerto Princesa City Hall. It is the largest pearl ever discovered in the world. This man had a valuable pearl under his bed for 10 years, and he did not know the value. Friends, today we have something of great value offered. It's actually worth more than that pearl, but we might miss the value. We might overlook it or ignore it or be ignorant of the value. And that is the value of God's wisdom. Friends, today we continue our series through the book of Proverbs entitled Walking Wisely in a Foolish World. And Solomon will invite us to consider the value of wisdom. Here's kind of the heading today over the message. God's wisdom is a worthy treasure that will shape our lives, if we let it. God's wisdom is a worthy treasure that will shape our lives. Look at verse 13 of Proverbs chapter 3. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. All her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that we would believe your word. And Lord, we would value wisdom as you tell us to. Lord, we would value wisdom to the degree that you tell us to. Help us, Lord. We are weak. We do not value it. And we need your Spirit's help today. In Jesus' name, amen. Point number one is this, in praise of wisdom, in praise of wisdom. Notice all the ways in this text that wisdom is highlighted. It is praised. There's so many benefits and accolades to wisdom. There's blessing, it's better than silver or gold, more precious than jewels. There's long life, there's pleasantness, her path is peace, she is the tree of life. There is much value in finding wisdom, getting wisdom, gaining wisdom, desiring wisdom, holding wisdom. If wisdom is a treasure, you search for her. If wisdom is a purchase, you save up for her. If wisdom is a woman, you clean up, you take a shower, you shave, you pursue her. If wisdom is an inheritance, you receive her and you're blessed by her. Wisdom is valuable. But is wisdom valuable to you? That's the question. Is wisdom valuable to you? Is wisdom as valuable to you as it is to Solomon? Is wisdom precious to you? Is it attractive to you? Is it desirable to you? Has Lady Wisdom caught your eye and pulled on your heart? Has God's wisdom, has it pulled at you? Do you want to know more of God's wisdom? Do you want to live by God's wisdom? Friends, to even consider this, we have to consider that we are talking about God's wisdom, not just gaining a secret knowledge of the future. Lots of people like the idea of gaining secret knowledge of the future. Many people want to know the future. They want kind of an insider path of knowing the future. Psychic readings are a $3 billion industry per year. Not million, billion. Psychic readings. It's big business to know the future. They want knowledge. Why would people want that knowledge? For control. They want to control their lives, and they will pay for it. But we aren't talking about knowledge of the future. We're talking about wisdom, God's wisdom, knowing God's wisdom in the world around us, knowing God's ways in God's world. It is knowing and thinking differently in different moments and having different moments thinking differently in different circumstances. That's God's wisdom. We know how to go this way or we know how to go that way. We know how to cut right or cut left depending on what the circumstances of life are. And that's what Proverbs presents. As we continue through Proverbs, you'll see even verses that if you look at them at first, you think they contradict each other. Like Proverbs 26:4. It says this, look it on the screen. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. Next verse, verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. So which is it? Do we not answer the fool, verse 4, or do we answer the fool, verse 5? It depends. It depends on the fool. It depends on the circumstances. It depends on all that's going on around it. You need wisdom. That's knowing wisdom. It knows how to go right, how to go left, how to go straight, how to do that in God's world. Wisdom is knowing how to not navigate God's world in moment-by-moment circumstances. It's having God's heart, a conscience that is sensitive to God's spirit, God's leading, submissive to Christ our King. And it's precious. Much of verse 13 through 18, hold up the most valuable things of earth, silver, gold, precious jewels, and say, wisdom is better. Wisdom is better. I love this Ray Ortland quote that will be on the screen, how wisdom enlivens and wisdom brightens. Look at the text or the quote on the screen. It says, money can put food on the table, but wisdom puts laughter around that table. Money can buy a house, but wisdom makes it a home. Money can buy a woman jewelry, but wisdom wins her heart. Do you see that? Like, there's money, but there's wisdom. Wisdom is the depth we want. Money can be superficial. Wisdom has depth and meaning. Friends, you and I need wisdom. We want laughter around the table. We want warmth in the home and the family and loving one another and being loved. Wisdom is a gift, and wisdom is a gift from God. It's precious. It's valuable. But is it valuable to you? Or is it hidden under your bed? Or is it sitting there, God's word, on your nightstand, but not in your heart? You see, wisdom is a bigger deal than we may think. And Solomon's going to teach us this about how wisdom is foundational for the very existence of the earth we live in. The very existence of the world that we know. Wisdom is foundational. Point number two is this. Wisdom's role in creation. Wisdom's role in creation. Two little verses, verse 19 and 20, but major teaching here. Look at verse 19. The Lord, by wisdom, found the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open, and the clouds dropped down the dew. God's wisdom is what brought forth our planet and the cosmos. All the complexities and simplicities of creation were in the mind of the Lord. It is the Lord's mind, the Lord's wisdom that put all of this together. Creation is founded on God's wisdom. Wisdom is foundational. Not only is it precious as gold, it is foundational like dirt and oxygen and water. That's wisdom. And let's just take a moment to tour creation for a minute and its complexities. Just consider, think about all the different things you might have studied in school, whether it's astronomy or meteorology or biology or ecology or zoology. They all come from the wisdom of God. Just consider our Milky Way galaxy. It is 100,000 light years in diameter. It contains more than 100 billion stars. And the Milky Way galaxy is one galaxy. There's an estimated 2 trillion known galaxies in the universe, founded on God's wisdom. Okay, if that's not mind-blowing enough, and none of us understand that, just admit that. Let's come down a little more to our planet, our neck of the woods, the planet Earth. And let's consider something we see every day. We're very used to it. We've been very used to it recently, and that's clouds. Clouds. The typical cumulus cloud holds 1.1 million pounds of water. Roughly 100 elephants are floating over your head. And that water is taken all over the planet to feed plants that you will eat and enjoy, and animals will, to give water to humans and animals. And to think even more about water, there are 351 quadrillion, didn't even know that was a word, quintrillion, sorry, gallons of water in the ocean, teeming with life, founded on God's wisdom. Or consider, let's just go down even further, this is something else you all also see daily, the human eye. The human eye that responds to light, that focuses in and out, that sees motion in the periphery. God orchestrated each human eye in the way he designed the complexity to work. Consider other aspects of creation. Just one bird I want to show you. I'm getting older, you're supposed to be a bird watcher when you get older. Not there yet, but maybe years from now. The artistic beauty of this bird is called the painted bunting. Anybody already know that? Just raise your hand. You did? Wow. All right. Sorry for making fun of bird watchers. We apparently have a whole demographic. We'll start a realm group for bird watchers soon. You can post your bird pictures. But look what God did. Look at the intricacies and the beauty of just one bird. All of this, all creation is by the wisdom of God. Verse 19 says, Yahweh's wisdom founded the earth. Yahweh established the heavens. By Yahweh's wisdom, the depths of the ocean were created. The rain falls. It's all by God's wisdom, and it's all around us every day. So when we think about gaining wisdom, we must consider this. God's wisdom is foundational. God's wisdom came before you are here and will be here after you're gone. And it's God's wisdom that's foundational in the world we live in. And if God's wisdom is foundational in the world we live in, is God's wisdom foundational to you and to your life and how you interact and think about the world you live in? Do you value God's wisdom? Creation shouts to you. It shouts to you the value of God's wisdom. Are you hearing it? Are you listening to God's creation shouting to you? Our final section speaks of the results of knowing God's wisdom. If we value wisdom, it actually functions daily in our life. It affects the way we treat people. So third point is this: wisdom's results. Wisdom's results. Look at verse 21. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life to your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. This is the fourth time in the book of Proverbs we've seen this father-son language. My son. He's saying, verse 21, to keep wisdom. And this passage makes a big claim of wisdom and discretion. It says this: they will be life for your soul. And that's a pretty big claim. They will be life for your soul. There are so many things in our world that claim to be life for your soul. This eating plan or that supplement or that thrill ride or that vacation or this experience or that person or movie or app is going to be life for you. You can't miss it. Don't miss it. It's amazing. I love looking back at things that people thought were amazing and like big, like, oh, this is the best. You gotta see this or do this or whatever. And then like years later, you look back and you're like, really? 1997, there was a movie, best movie ever made. Best movie. I guarantee you're not thinking about the ones that it's going to be. Batman and Robin. There you go. Best Christmas, same year, best Christmas movie ever. Steven Spielberg says this, best Christmas movie ever. Maybe. He didn't say that, though. He says Polar Express. I know, isn't that disappointing? It's like, Steven Spielberg, wouldn't you think a little better about that? The world promises life and life and life for your soul, and it does not deliver over and over again. But Proverbs says, here's life for your soul. There they will find life for their souls. The wisdom of God is life for your soul. We're to keep wisdom, not lose sight of it. Don't take your eye off the ball, for there is security here. There are firm steps here, not slipping here. It's like wearing cleats in the football game. You know how to move around, or it's a soccer match, or having tread on your shoes in the basketball game. You've got to have sure footing. Ask any athlete. The world, the flesh, and the devil are after us to take us off our feet. But we need that sure footing of God's wisdom. Wisdom that is highly esteemed. Look at verse 24 as we continue thinking about wisdom. If you lie down, this is talking about having wisdom. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be our confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Friends, this is a significant passage. Wisdom speaks of us resting in God. Wisdom speaks of us not living lives captured by fear. Friends, do you hear that? We live in a culture of perpetual restlessness. perpetual restlessness and fear. And this passage says, if we live in God's wisdom, we can breathe again. We can inhale and exhale. We cannot live gripped by fear. We can sleep. And it makes sense that we would have less fear and more rest if our confidence is fully in God. We would trust the Lord with all our heart and not lean on our own understanding, not try to play out all the scenarios and figure out how we can make things happen the safest way possible. That we would trust. As we looked at that word trust last week in Proverbs 3, we talked about like that belly flop. When I was a kid, we would get on my parents' large mattress and we'd just like, woo, boom, you know, belly flop on the mattress. This is belly flopping on God's grace. That's trusting Him. You can imagine if you're trusting fully on God's grace, you're trusting fully in God, that sleep is going to be sweeter. Fear is going to be less. You're going to avoid things like lady lust that Proverbs says and run away from the fool and the enticements to pride and envy that the text earlier said in Proverbs. It makes sense that life would be more restful, more content, more grateful, less striving, more peace if we're trusting Christ, if we're resting in Him, if we're living God's way in God's world. This is living our lives for Jesus, that Jesus is the priority, walking the royal way, following King Jesus, faithfully plodding each day, step by step, trusting Jesus. To choose wisdom is to choose Christ. Now, love verse 26. It says this, the Lord will be your confidence. Friends, is the Lord your confidence? Like whatever is swirling in your head about last week or the coming week or the present right now, is the Lord your confidence? In the current decisions you're trying to make, is the Lord your confidence? In your finances, is the Lord your confidence? In your holiday planning, is the Lord your confidence? In your parenting, is the Lord your confidence? In your singleness, is the Lord your confidence? In your education, your job, your marriage, your future, is the Lord your confidence? Is He your resting place? There's a song that came out a long time ago, and I love the little, there was just a little in the verse. It said, my soul has found a resting place. It is the grace of God. Like, done. My soul's resting here in God. This is the pearl of greatest price. This is knowing Jesus and being secure in Him. This is our confidence here. This is living God's way in God's world. And friends, it spills over. And what we see in verses 27 through 32, it spills over toward how we treat others. Look at verse 27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a man of violence. Do not choose any of his ways. For the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. Notice that these verses could be summarized as love your neighbor. Like we're just called love God, love neighbor. This is just hitting on the love neighbor, the horizontal aspect. Verse 27 and 28 says that if someone deserves good and honor and we have the power to give it, then we give it. We don't withhold good. Verse 29 and 30 say that we don't contend with others. So this passage speaks of both the sins of omission and the sins of commission. We are to love our neighbors and not withhold good or omit doing good to them. Ray Ortlund puts it this way: we sin against each other not only by the bad things we do, but also by the beautiful things we withhold. Friends, it is wise to ask the Holy Spirit if there are ways we are sinning by omission. We're omitting. We're not doing good that we should do. We're withholding. It would be wise to pause and ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, is that happening in my life? Are there ways I know I could do good, but I am choosing not to? I'm withholding. But there's also wisdom in asking, are there sins of commission? This is what we often think of in sin, or the idea of doctrine of sin, actively committing sin. Are we sinning against our children or our spouse or our roommate or our employer? Are there ways we are actually not loving our neighbor the way Christ desires us to? Friends, walking the path of actively sinning or passively withholding good is walking the path of the fool. It's the opposite of gaining wisdom. We've got to slow down and consider those things. Holy Spirit, help us honor you in all areas. And verse 31 and 32 then explain how the believer should not envy those who do evil. Friends, let your heroes not be the politician or the musician or the influencer who does evil. Let not your heroes be those who are devious or violent with their words or their actions. Let your confidence be in God. Honor God. Ortlund again, he summarizes verse 27 through 32 in this way. I love this little summary. He says, help your needy neighbor, protect your innocent neighbor, avoid your violent neighbor. That's basically a good little summary. They'll put it in your pocket. Take it with you. Help your needy neighbor, protect your innocent neighbor, avoid your violent neighbor. The chapter then ends and kind of pulls back with God's view of all of this. So we've seen kind of Solomon and the interaction and what this looks like on the ground. Now he pulls back and talks about living the paths of wisdom or living the paths of foolishness. We've seen the two paths brought up many times in the book of Proverbs so far, and we will continue to see that. But this is speaking of what really matters. God's view is what really matters. So here's our ultimate destination. Look at verse 33 through 35. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Toward the scorners, he is scornful, but to the humble, he gives favor. The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. You see this ultimate destination language? The wicked is cursed by God. The scorner will be scorned by God. The wicked will inherit disgrace. The wicked will get from God what he's given to others. But on the opposite side, the path of the righteous, the humble man or woman, receives favor and honor. They get from God what they've given to others. These are the two paths, and everybody is on one of the paths. And friends, at some point in our lives, we realize that we are all on the path of the fool. We're all on the wicked, unrighteous path. Our sinful hearts condemn us. We've tried to live our lives in the driver's seat, thinking that we can have control. But the path of wisdom is the path of knowing we need God. This isn't working out. We need rescue. We need favor from God. We're living in shame or disgrace. God's word says none of us choose righteousness. No, not even one. You see, friends, the path of wisdom is the path of knowing Jesus, knowing that you need a Savior. You need Jesus Christ. You need to trust him with your life, valuing Jesus Christ, to really love God and then love neighbor. It's all rooted in Jesus Christ. So friends, do you know Jesus Christ with all of your life? Do you know Jesus as your Savior, that he died for your sins on the cross, his perfect favor is counted to your credit, that his resurrected life is given as your life? Do you know Jesus? If you do not, we'd love to share more with you about a life relationship with Jesus. We'd love to invite you into the family of God in relationship with Jesus. Scripture calls that the abundant life. It is the life of wisdom. It is the life of favor. Let me just give you a taste of what the Bible says about this life. Give you a little taste. So we're taking, some of us have put the pearl under our bed, hopefully not for 10 years like the Filipino guy. We're going to pull out the pearl and look at it for a second. Look at the screen. It says, we're going to read Philippians 2. This is a promise for believers. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ is yours. You can have it, believer. It is yours in Christ. This wisdom is given to you. It's yours in Christ Jesus. Now let's think about who Christ is, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He wasn't grasping after his godness when he was living in the flesh. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. This is wisdom. In verse 9, therefore God the Father has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Friends, that is wisdom. For the believer, this is yours in Christ Jesus. That mind of Christ, that living humbly, that living for Christ, that united to the exalted one, that's yours. That's a promise. That's a pearl. We want to take it out of our under our bed and we want to look at it. And for those who don't know Christ, oh friends, you're missing the pearl. You're missing the abundant life. You're missing the one thing you need, which is Jesus. And we invite you to know Jesus as your Savior. Friends, for those who know Christ, we're going to celebrate together, kind of looking at that pearl a little bit more. And that is as we partake in the Lord's Supper together as we close. We're invited to value and treasure the wisdom of God shown in Jesus Christ. It is not something theoretical. It's not something distant. It is something experienced. You taste it. You touch it. It is near. God is near to you by His Spirit. His Spirit is dwelling in you, believers. So we will partake the bread that represents Christ's body, a body that God the Son took on, he incarnated, to live a perfect life, a life of wisdom that we could not and did not live. We lived a sinful life. We have lived sinfully. He lived sinlessly, and he substituted for us. He was fully righteous, always valuing wisdom fully, delighting in God's good understanding all the time, everywhere. And he lived that life for you. So as you hold the bread in your hand, it represents his incarnate life lived for you. It is a gift given to you. And then after we partake the bread in a few moments, we will partake the cup, which represents Jesus' shed blood on the cross. Jesus took the full wrath that our sins deserved, and he paid for it. He drank the cup of wrath fully, so we get to drink the cup of joy and acceptance completely. He drank the cup of wrath, so we get to drink the cup of blessing. And eventually, we drink the celebration wine at the wedding feast of the Lamb. Jesus shed his blood for us in our place, substitutionary. Why? because of his love. Why? Because he did not withhold good from his neighbor, but he shares it with his neighbor.